It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 301. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I start off talking about men's basketball, including the NCAA investigation, and our takeaways from the preseason game against New Mexico. Then we jump on to football. What did we think about that victory against San Jose State? And then we preview the Fresno State game. Do the Cougars have a chance against a much better defense from the Bulldogs? This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Get this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcasts. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to Matt and I right now. So Matt, we're recording this. Two things are going on right now. Game 6 of the World Series.
Yes.
And it is technically still All Hallows Eve.
See, I knew you were going to call it that.
Why? Because I've done that every year we've had this podcast?
And it's a little weird?
It's not weird. It's kind of cool. It's kind of... I don't know what the word is.
You can't just call it Halloween like everybody else.
I cannot just call it Halloween like everybody else. Do I celebrate it like everybody else, Matt?
No, you don't. That's definitely true. You definitely do not celebrate it like everyone else.
Were you dressed up as Professor Snape, answering your door and delivering candy, all while speaking in a Professor Snape accent?
I wouldn't know how to do that. I've never seen a Harry Potter movie.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to have seen a Harry Potter movie, because you know who Professor Snape was, right? In the movies?
Does he talk like this?
Terrible. But...
He talks like the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah, it's Alan Rickman, but that was a terrible Alan Rickman, by the way. That was absolutely terrible. If you want to do the Sheriff of Nottingham, you have to do this. I'll use a spoon because it'll hurt more. Remember that line? That's a good one. And he's also, Alan Rickman is also Hans Gruber on Die Hard.
One of his greatest roles.
Those three roles are amazing. I mean, he has other good roles too. He was a heck of an actor, and passed away not quite a year ago.
Yeah.
Die
Hard's one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time.
Oh, one of the greatest movies of all time. Doesn't matter.
It's just a great way to bring in the holidays.
Absolutely nothing beats, you know, John McClane killing people. To remind you what the holidays are all about.
That's right.
So, Matt, did you dress up this year? Did you break your streak of not dressing up since 1999?
Why would I break that streak?
Because
1999 is probably the right year. No, there's one year I did dress up since I've been married. I did make that mistake once.
That mistake? You mean you actually did Halloween correctly once?
I tried to do one of those costumes where, like, you have a stuffed shirt up over your head so your real head looks like it's being held by, and you don't have a head.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, we all get what you're saying. It's like a headless horseman costume.
Yeah, the execution was terrible.
Shocking.
I think that was the last time I tried to dress up.
All right, Matt, so did you...
No, that's not true! That's not true!
That's not true, okay.
A few years ago, it was the year that Strasburg hurt his elbow.
Oh, that's right.
I put on a Strasburg jersey and put my arm in a sling. And when I showed up at a Halloween party, everybody said, oh, you're Steven Strasburg? I said, no, I'm my worst nightmare. And it's an injured Strasburg. was funny.
So, yeah, it's a very, very clever.
No, Snape. Snipe or Snoop or whatever you were.
Snape. And by the way, I'm kind of a legend in our neighborhood.
I believe that.
Like, people, when if I take the kids trick-or-treating or I answer the door, there is an anticipation factor on what am I going to be doing? And will there be music or an accent involved? Because when we did Star Wars, I walked around with my little Bluetooth speaker blasting the Imperial March as we walked around the neighborhood. This is pretty awesome.
We had a family show up to our house tonight in a golf... Okay, so a lot of people, they've got these golf carts. They had done their golf cart.
I'm sorry, say that again. They what? They have golf carts?
Yes, it's a thing.
Isn't so, it like 70 degrees there?
Yes. Oh, actually, okay. Yeah, it was probably 75 tonight while people were trick-or-treating. All What's right. wrong? Why was the what does the golf cart have to do with the temperature?
I don't know. Why are they riding around in golf carts?
It's just they just do this.
It's a Louisiana thing. All right.
So anyway, so they so this one family, they dressed up their golf cart to look like the carriage that took Cinderella to the ball.
Oh, fantastic! I love these people already.
And then their daughter, who's probably 6 or 7 years old, is dressed up in a Cinderella costume, like the nice one, like that you get at Disney World.
Yeah.
And her dad was wearing a t-shirt, but it was the t-shirt was printed to look like Prince Charming's suit.
Fantastic.
So they would pull up, and they were playing the music from the movie. They'd pulled up to every house in this golf cart, and he would help her out of the carriage and walk her up to get the candy. It's amazing. Hilarious.
They won. They just won Halloween.
Right. I'm not going to beat that.
But you don't have to beat that. Just actually try. Just try, Matt. It's just fun. It's just fun. Did you see any when you're out trick-or-treating or any besides that one? I guess that's your highlight of the night, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was the best. That was probably the coolest one.
The costume was fine. The little kid was dressed as Captain America, and I answered the door in my Snape voice, and he looks up at me and goes, kid's probably 6, 7. He goes, man, you're creepy.
That's great. Pretty funny.
It was great. Anyway.
Sounds like a good judge of character.
Yeah, I think he does. Well, Matt, let's jump out of All Hallows Eve and into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, women's volleyball, the streak is over. They did lose to number 18 San Diego, but they're still ranked 10th in all of the land. And still got a good chance to make noise in the postseason. Up next is Pacific, who's 12-11, and St. Mary's, both in Provo. So Matt, I expect that when we talk about them next, they will be 23-2. So, Matt, as you've been saying all year, the women's soccer team is going to turn around. They have turned it around.
Oh yeah, we all saw this coming, right? I mean.
Yes, they've turned it around. So they beat Gonzaga last week 6-3. I actually watched that match on ESPNU. I didn't catch all of it, but I caught most of it, of that match. And their offense was humming, obviously. And then won a very different kind of game a couple days later, a 1-0 shutout over Portland, where Hannah Clark threw the shutout, if you will. They are 4-1-1 over their last 6 games, Matt. So, Matt, you know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, the schedule was a little bit front-loaded. Yeah. That was part of the issue, right? But
yep.
I think we always had reason to be confident that this team would cruise when they got into conference play.
Yeah. So, and breakout player right now is freshman midfielder Michaela Colahan, who had first two goals of her collegiate career at Gonzaga, 2-goal game, and then also had an assist in that game, and then also assisted on the only goal against Portland. So, heck of a week for Michaela. Congratulations to her. Next up, they have Pepperdine and LMU in Provo, I believe. If I don't have that in front of me, but I believe. So, Matt, let's talk about the NFL for a second. With the first pick in the NFL draft, San Francisco 49ers select Jimmy Garoppolo.
What about that, huh?
I guess that's the quarterback of the future for those 49ers that so many LDS people root for.
It's funny. Hey, that part's funny because it's all still because of Steve Young.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have peeled off that by now. It's been a long time.
I know. I've got a Steve Young jersey in my closet.
Well, yeah, but are you a 49ers fan?
Nope.
No, I'm not. I mean, I was when he played there.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, okay. So, Jimmy
Garoppolo. We've lost a lot of people with San Francisco or area connections, right? So, yeah, Garoppolo. So, if you look at the list of quarterbacks that have been back up to Tom Brady and then gone somewhere.
They've all become
deals for the Patriots.
They've all become Pro Bowlers, right?
Not exactly.
Jed Hoyer.
Some of them may have visited the Pro Bowl.
No, actually, I think What's-His-Bucket was a Pro Bowler.
What's-His-Bucket? You're going to need to be a little bit more specific talking about buckets.
Went to Kansas City.
Ryan Mallett?
No, not Mallett. Before Mallett.
Matt Hassel?
Castle. He might have made a Pro Bowl.
Hassel.
Oh, by the way. The Dodgers just hit a home run.
Oh, we're going to game 7, huh?
It looks like it. It's 3-1 in the bottom of the 7th. But in this series, that doesn't mean jack squat. We'll get to that later, Matt.
Those balls have some bounce.
Yeah, they're flying out. Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know if he'll be any good or not. If the Patriots really thought he was going to be that good, I don't know if they give him up. But I hear some people, like Patriots fans, worried about, well, if Brady gets hurt, who's our back? Who cares? If Brady gets hurt, the Pats are done.
Yeah, your season's over anyway.
Stick a fork in it. You know, besides Gronkowski, you don't have a, like, top 40 pass-catching option on the roster. You got one, and he's likely to miss the playoffs because he always does. Always, that's... It's a little bit much, Adam. But Matt, let's stick with the Patriots here for a second. Kyle Van Noy is the best player on the Patriots defense. And with Dont'a Hightower looking like he's done for the year, that will continue to be the case for the rest of the year. And he had another great game. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's gonna have an amazing career. I really think he is. He was wearing the green dot on Sunday, dude.
Yeah,
running the defense.
Yeah, he was running the defense. Did you see that where some of the guys were making fun of they can't understand a thing he says out on the field? Like he mumbles because he's kind of a quiet talker. Which is true, right? Like he was never – he was more of the lead by example guy than the vocal leader when he was at BYU. But good to see from him. Matt, rumor of the day that I'm loving, Ziggy Ansah, trade target for the Patriots. But I think the deadline already passed though, right, by now?
Yeah,
But that was the rumor that that folks were talking about. But I think the
what was the trade? I heard this on the radio, but I can't remember who it was. Somebody made a trade, and then they were so excited about it they forgot to call it in, and they missed the deadline. They missed the cutoff.
Today?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that.
I think it was the Browns. They made some trade, and they were so excited they went to go celebrate it. And nobody remembered to call the league office.
So
they
didn't
file the paperwork, and the trade was null and
void. I'm just watching a clip of Jameel Hill and Michael Smith laughing.
It's like the most Browns thing ever. But the good news is somebody now doesn't have to go play it for the Browns.
Well, I mean, come on. It was A.J. McCarron. I mean, it's not like their franchise is swinging on that gate. Right? Like, he's not.
What is that phrase?
I don't know. I just made it up.
But I think you did just make it up. That's not a phrase.
That's not a phrase. I just totally made it
up. I've never heard that in my life.
I just totally made that up right now.
But it works. It works. All.
Yeah, you followed what I meant. That is the most Brown things to do. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
The Browns. What a joke. So anyway.
Their helmets are orange.
Matt,
not even brown.
Before we get into that is funny because we were watching some highlights the other day, and my 8-year-old, who by the way can handle about, she always says she wants to watch the BYU game or the baseball game, and about 8 minutes in, she's done, and keeps asking like, "Well, when does this get over?" So we were watching some highlights, and she saw they were making fun of the Browns on SportsCenter. Shocker! And I said, "Oh, they're named the Browns," and she's like, "Why are their helmets orange?" I don't know. Can't answer that question.
She's a smart girl.
All right. So, Matt, before we get into men's basketball, You're going to run the New York City Marathon on Saturday.
Yes, sir. It's coming up this weekend. It's actually on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Well, I was just trying to say Saturday so it won't feel you won't feel as bad about breaking the Sabbath.
I appreciate the assist, but I'm okay.
You're okay? Huh, weird. Well, as after we were sacrilegious last week, I thought, you know, we can keep that trend going.
Oh, see, we didn't even need Sweeney's help this time.
Yeah, we don't need you, Sweeney, to be sacrilegious. We can do it on our own.
That's right.
Okay? All right. So anyway, Matt, good luck on Sunday. It'll be awesome. Can't wait.
I'm very excited. The weather's supposed to be pretty good.
Good.
So good,
like 50s.
Yeah, in the 50s. Maybe there might be just a little smidgen of rain.
Okay.
But that's not a real big deal. The temperature is really key.
Yeah, you'll sweat so much you won't even feel the rain.
It's not even going to matter.
Yeah.
By the time it's over, the temperature really, as long as it's not too hot, the temperature won't really matter either because everything's going to hurt.
Right. Yes, I bet it will. Because what was your longest...
Runners come up with these mantras that they say to themselves, you know, to get through the hard late miles.
Okay.
Mine is, everything hurts, shut up, keep running.
That's your mantra, huh?
Oh, that's it.
That sounds like me just climbing a flight of stairs. Everything hurts, shut up, just keep going. Huh, I may use that. Thanks. That was very inspiring to my climbing stairs.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Good luck.
It's good. Thanks. I'm very proud of myself for climbing stairs at work. The elevator, they say, is just for people that really need it. Who's to say I don't need it? Matt, anything else you want to tell us about that before we move on?
No, we passed the fundraising goal. A lot of support from podcast listeners. We ended up at $3,700, so... very excited about that, and you know, just one more plug, I guess, as we go through this, to encourage everybody to spend a little bit of time on AFSP.org, learn about suicide prevention, and how you might put yourself in a position to help somebody you care about should the need arise.
All right, thank you, Matt. Well, let's talk about basketball, Matt, because you know what I wanted to talk about this week. I was just dying. We haven't talked about it enough recently. Is NCAA bylaws.
Oh, snap.
That's what I want to talk about, because you and I are such big believers in the way that the NCAA has carved out what it means to be an amateur.
I'm a big proponent of amateurism.
Yeah,
I mean, look at this right here. Yeah. Our podcast is all about amateurism.
That's right. It's amateur hour on the Rise and Shout podcast every week. Matt, Nick Emery... apparently went to Harry Potter World.
And he knows who Snape is.
Hey, I bet you better believe Nick Emery would have liked my costume. And apparently he drives a car that his parents own. This is a story?
It's a Jetta, dude. It's a Jetta. Like, can we get any more Provo than getting busted by the NCAA for driving a Volkswagen Jetta?
And
it's
going
like 3 years old.
And going to Harry Potter World.
Oh,
those my you could God. Not get more Provo than that. Okay, now.
Did he have some of that? What is it? Butterbeer?
I'm sure he loaded up on so much butterbeer they had to roll him out of the place. I mean, freak. Okay. You and I have similar opinions on some of this stuff, so unfortunately we're not going to get to debate it, because I couldn't even defend the NCAA. I couldn't even pretend to defend them without, like, puking, okay? North Carolina set up fake classes, or I guess they were technically real classes, but joke classes for, what, like 20 years?
Classes wherein a student had to turn in a single, like, six-line essay.
Correct.
And got a full semester's worth of credit.
But because those classes were available to all, it's not actually academic fraud, according to the NCAA.
But it is. But that's exactly what it is. And just take the sports out of this for a minute. That's exactly what that is.
Well,
it's academic fraud.
the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, is a heck of a university, right? Like, academically, they're a great school.
Great school.
And it's just insulting, right, to have athletes and even other students who are taking these courses get college credit for a class that has no business being in college, okay? All right, fine. But the NCAA, as usual, is not going to do that. Now they're investigating Nick Emery and, of course, BYU. This is a non-story. He will get some slap on the wrist, unless there's more things that are outside of what the Salt Lake Tribune and their crack reporting of having somebody stake out.
Oh, that's the best.
What car he was driving.
And he went and read the VIN number, like, in the parking lot of the Marriott Center.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
Terrible. All awesome. Due respect to a friend of the podcast, Jay Drew. It wasn't his reporting, but all due respect. This is the biggest non-story, all I can say is I don't think this will have any effect on BYU this season. Emery may end up getting suspended, and by all accounts, this guy's not a big booster. I think he's just a friend of the Emerys, right?
Yes.
So
I think he's got a Cougar Club membership so that he can, because he's got season football tickets or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think every time I see booster, I'm like, anyway.
But that's the definition of booster according to the NC2A.
So Gary Payne asked us about this at Fast Break GP, hashtag tweetback, hashtag pingback. He asked about ramifications. There's no ramifications. There's nothing in it. This is a bunch of noise that, is ridiculous and will die. So,
yeah, this isn't something that's indicative of some deep-seated problem where athletes across sports are getting free used Volkswagen Jettas and trips to Harry Potter World with all the butterbeer they can handle.
Correct. That is, and I think some of our guys could handle a lot of butterbeer.
Like, we've got basketball coaches signing deals with shoe companies to funnel players and pay them. Literally pay them, right?
Right.
And we're worried about some dude's used Jetta.
Yes, correct.
Like let's just put this in context here, folks. This is not like we're not sitting here wondering if the BYU basketball program is about to receive the death penalty from the NCAA.
No, no.
This is not a big deal.
And it's not like somebody was sitting in the back of the Jetta with a frisbee.
Oh, right? Here we go.
I mean, nobody was sitting back doing whatever, you know, with a frisbee, you know, holding their butterbeer, drinking butterbeer out of a frisbee or whatever.
It's really foggy in the back of this Jetta.
By the way, you made a spectacular joke last week.
I know. It was awesome. It was the crown jewel of my jokes for that week.
Yeah, and I totally missed it. Sorry, dude.
I thought you, because you had told me just before that, I had kind of killed the frisbee joke about how I'm surprised he caught the frisbee because it was thrown so high.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't kill the joke. Don't ruin it. Just say it and move on. So that's right. What I did.
Well, it's true. But you did kill that first one because you kept repeating it.
Well, because I wasn't sure if you got it.
I got it. I missed the second one that you didn't repeat.
How did you miss it? I literally paused for like 10 seconds after I said it.
I don't know. I missed. I was listening back editing, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I missed that. And then we got lit up on Twitter by several people pointing out that.
Brilliant.
Was that really a joke? But anyway, Matt, let's talk about real basketball, okay, and not this NCAA ridiculousness. We have a game to examine. It's a preseason game. And very early, and I saw people getting like, well, is New Mexico very good? Early season basketball, preseason basketball, with this few practices under their belt, it's always going to be a little iffy, right? Like, field goal percentage was not good for New Mexico in particular. I mean, they took 70 shots and only made 26 of them, for example. But let's talk about, forget about the Lobos for a second. Any takeaways as you look at that box score for BYU? I mean, obviously, Childs is the story, right? 19 points and what do you have? 17 rebounds? No, 17 points and 19 rebounds. I did it.
There you go.
I did it opposite. But, I mean, he's the story. But outside of Yoeli Childs, I mean, is it TJ Hawes? Is it Worthington looking good? I mean, what's your takeaway?
I think Childs is really the takeaway. You know, the rest of it, I mean, you're spreading some time out a little bit and figuring some things out. This team, I don't know, has really had the opportunity to finish gelling, right? And frankly, for these BYU teams the past couple of years, it's going to take them. Yeah, we'll get into conference play before we start feeling like that's what's happening. But I think the story here probably is Childs' numbers.
Yeah, I think Childs' numbers is good. I think Jashire Hartnett played 27 minutes, 9 points, 3 assists, only one, no turnovers, a couple steals. I liked his line. Hawes, of course, 6 turnovers. Elijah Bryant had 7. They had some problems with the press. Childs actually had 5 turnovers. He also had 4 blocks, by the way. Childs was a monster, as you said. And like you said, I don't know if this is the rotation. We've learned years of watching Dave Rose teams that the rotation in the preseason and the rotation come conference time is rarely the same.
It's going to be a month into the season before they, at least.
So, you know, Dastrup not playing. I saw some people like, oh my gosh, is Dastrup just not going to play? That may be true, right? But I'm not today going to say it's going to be Luke Worthington getting the minutes over Peyton Dastrup. I'm not confident enough to say that yet. And Celius, I think, will play way more during the season than he did in this contest. Just 14 minutes. I think he will end up playing a significant amount of time.
Yeah, they're just feeling that out.
But I will say that the
3-point shooting, it makes me a little bit nervous, but it's early.
It's early. None of the shooting stuff makes me nervous. The free throw shooting was decent. Obviously, the rebounding, we just absolutely destroyed New Mexico on the boards, and I think that's a good thing because, you know, the question that's going to be a question with Mika gone, right? Is who besides Yoeli Childs is going to get boards? And in this particular game, it was kind of everybody, you know? You had Elijah Bryant with 8. You had Hawes with 7. Worthington with 5. So, I mean, I don't know. It was good. Good takeaway. I'm not getting too excited or too down off of this one exhibition, but good start. Good start for sure. Matt, let's talk about football. So, San Jose State is not good at football.
No, they're not.
So that being said, and we all knew that going into the game, and we know that now coming out of the game. I was annoyed on Twitter by all the people who felt it was their need to remind us all that the BYU team is still not very good. BYU fans, hey guys, don't get too excited. San Jose State's terrible. Do you think anyone was actually getting that excited on Saturday?
If they were, they weren't. A, they haven't been paying attention all season. B, they're certainly not paying attention to the guy on Twitter telling them to calm down.
I just thought it was kind of ridiculous, to be honest. It's like, guys, let's have some fun watching a game where we're winning, okay? Without, like, you know, Eeyore sitting over here in the corner telling us everything still stinks.
Oh, well, they're not very good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good Eeyore there, buddy. Much better than your Sheriff of Nottingham.
I appreciate the recognition.
Yeah. So Matt, here's a couple of takeaways, all right? We had a tweet bag from Clark Early.
Tweet bag.
And by the way, if you want to do the tweet bag, you can do it on Twitter like Clark did, at @BYU_RiseShout. You can do it at Facebook. We got a couple of Facebook questions later. That's facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or you can do it good old-fashioned email, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com.
Matt, we would like to invite all of you to climb on in to the tweet bag.
No, I would not invite
you. I've noticed
you
stopped saying that, so I needed to make sure that was said.
Yes, thank you for saying that terrible phrase. Clark, that's at CLEarly33 on Twitter, says, in your professional medical opinion, I didn't know we were qualified to do that. Thank you, Clark. What will the guy from San Jose State's quality of life be without his head? Have you seen the Bonnie Fuller picture of the El Bakri hit?
The one where everybody on the sideline has their jaw on the floor?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. That was quite a hit, by the way. That is one way to start a football game.
The best were the pictures. Are they memes? I don't know. I'm
memes.
A middle-aged
not
dad.
Memes.
I don't know how it, what is stuff. This stuff's. I don't know what the kids are calling it these days.
The kids.
But did you see the one where they were taking pictures out of Anchorman and they were telling El Bakri,
you
may have killed a man. You should probably lay low for a while.
Yeah, I saw those. Very, very good. So, Matt, any other takeaways from the San Jose State game? I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about the offense here in a second. So anything besides the offense?
Just glad we're not the absolute worst team in college football.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Eeyore.
And I will say this. The players looked like they were, you know, I think it felt good. I'm sure it did. To score a bunch of points and have some success on the field. It's been a long road for these guys. So it was nice to see them enjoying themselves, right? Which you haven't seen that in the second half of a game in a while.
No, you haven't. It was good, and obviously we came out the last five quarters of football. Detmer has run a very different offense, just letting things fly on the passing game, which is, we'll get to that in a second. But Matt, Dan Roach on Twitter, that's at BruteDR on Twitter, says, does this win make you feel any better about 2017, or is it too little, too late? I don't know if it's too little, too late, but it doesn't really change how I feel, because I thought they were going to win this game. I still think they only win one or two more games in the Final Four. Matt, has it changed your opinion at all? This win?
The only thing this could have done is made my opinion of the season worse. Right? So had we lost to this team, I think that tells you, which I predicted, and I'll just go ahead and full disclosure for those of you who don't remember, I did predict a loss.
Yes, you did, because you hate the Cougars.
All this really could have done is made it apparent that things were even worse than we thought. Right? So a win here doesn't elevate my opinion in any way. It's a little bit of a relief just to get the win, but
San Jose State's a better team than Portland State. I don't think I'm going out of limb here. But not by a ton, right?
Right, because as you noted a lot the week we played Portland, they've got these defensive backs.
Stop it. You know, you just won't let some things go.
Did your jerseys come in that you ordered? Didn't you order some
both
jerseys?
Both of them came in. They look great. So, to me, the one good sign is we played much better against San Jose State offensively than we played against Portland. And I think that means something. I don't think it means a lot, but I think it means something. I think the offense may actually be improving versus earlier in the season. And I think the last five quarters, maybe Detmer and company have figured out something that works for the players that they have on the roster, with Tanner being the quarterback, that maybe they have figured out something. I don't know, because the two last defenses we played have been so terrible. I don't know how much that means, and it may mean almost nothing. So Chase Blyle on Twitter, that's at Chase Blyle, he says, what was the difference between the first seven games and that game on offense? I expected improvement, but that was great. Hashtag tweetbag. Matt, what was the difference?
Well, I think we figured out who the running back is.
Yeah, if he ends up playing anymore. Gosh, we can't keep anybody on the field.
Tanner seemed to be a little bit more comfortable, and we were just more talented than the defense we were playing.
Yeah. I think all of those things are true. I think that's a good way to put this. I think that Tanner finally looked comfortable for the first time since Detmer took over. He hasn't looked comfortable to me in any game in the last year and a half that he's played. And he looked comfortable. Physically, his ankle looked fine. He was moving around in the pocket. He had the most Tanner-like play, that touchdown that should have been that was dropped when he was basically getting dragged down. And that's when Andy's at his best, broken plays, making things happen, and slinging the ball down the field. I mean, if you look at the last five quarters, he looks pretty good. Now, again, caveat of two terrible defenses, but you know, he looks pretty good. So I think the difference is they've kind of let him be Tanner instead of trying to make him into this precision read short passing offense guy that's just not who he is. Agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree. But I don't want us to get sucked into the Jake Heaps effect.
Yeah, yeah. So Gary Payne is not getting sucked in. He's asked this regarding Tanner. While the long throws were there this week, he seems to be short on most deep routes thoughts. Matt, he still is off often. I mean, he has not been highly accurate this season, and highly accurate on Saturday.
And I don't know that I feel like he's been short on deep routes. I feel like he's just been inaccurate. I've seen him overthrow some of those as well, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Accuracy is still a little bit of an issue. It's just that the windows against the San Jose State defense are a lot bigger than some of these other defenses we've played. So it's a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah.
And your receivers ought to be able to create a little bit more space against that level of defensive competition. So you've got a couple other things working in your favor that can cover up a little bit of inaccuracy that would be a lot more glaring as it has been against better opponents.
Right.
So I'm not ready to say that I feel like he's gotten a lot more accurate. I think that there is some improvement. And I don't mean to be Debbie Downer here, but I feel like a lot of what we saw on Saturday has to do with the fact that, I mean, we finally played an opponent where we were just better than they were, and we were able to put together a game plan that they didn't figure out or didn't adjust to well enough.
I don't think San Jose State has the people to adjust to what we did on Saturday. His QBR rating, that's the rating that ESPN uses to incorporate everything that a QB does. If he held that rating for an entire season, he's a top 20 quarterback. Okay. Now the single game ones are not adjusted for your competition, right? To me, though, this is the type of game that I thought he would have against ECU, which he ended up having in the fourth quarter, but not until then. And to me, it's like when he's going against bad defenses, we should have, you know, 7, 8, 9 yards per pass attempt. And that's what he had, 8 yards per pass attempt. So, I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, but like you said, I'm not about to build a statue out front of him. So, not yet. Give me another week. If he beats Fresno this week, though, woo!
Oh, jeez.
So, Matt, on Facebook, Johnny Ashton has this to say, since you believe Detmer needs to go, who is your recommended replacement? Criticism is much more productive when you have advice on how to do it better. I'm not convinced that there is a better option than Detmer right now, but I admittedly know very little about BYU's potential coaching pool. Well, Johnny, I'll make it very simple for you. The potential coaching pool is massively large. Matt, do you agree with that statement?
I think the potential coaching pool is a lot bigger than a lot of fans realize. And I will also say this. I think we've made some suggestions on how things could be done better in terms of what it is that Detmer does. I think we've talked about that at length, you know, the types of things that you can do to be more effective as a play caller. Now, but I will also say I'm not a Division I football coach either. So, I don't know that I have all of the answers in that regard, but back to your point, the potential coaching pool is gigantic. And really, we don't even, I don't think at this point, we'd even know who some of the top candidates are, because you think you start finding out a little bit later in the year who's going to be really available, and you're able to explore and find out who would really be interested.
Right, right. So think of it this way. This is how I think of BYU's coordinator coaching pool. Okay? I think people are like, well, people are talking about LDS people as if that's the only option. But it's not. I mean, obviously, I think if there is a young LDS offensive coach, they probably have a little bit of an advantage coming into BYU. But I don't think it is a given. But I would say this. Look at good offensive teams this year where they may be, where the situation may be one where that offensive coordinator might see BYU as an upgrade. Louisiana, Monroe, Arkansas State, some of these top 40 defenses that are way down the list, okay? The other one to me, so that's a potential pool. The other potential pool is really good offenses and getting their QB coach or like an assistant offensive coordinator who's looking for that promotion. Now, if they're really good, it's going to be a temporary job for us or a temporary employee, okay? But I think that's all right. Or just take someone from Leach's staff, you know? I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of possible coaches. You could also go to the FCS ranks and find a head coach or an offensive coordinator, a head coach that's offensive-minded, who might want to make the jump to the FBS. And so there's probably, you could probably find a list of 40 or 50 candidates and then start whittling it down from there. How many of them are going to be LDS? Probably 4 or 5 would be my guess. And that's not a lot, and I get it. But I think there's a ton of guys out there that could do this job. And Detmer has proven that that this year, he cannot do it at a high level. I mean, I'll be shocked if there's a turnaround with him. I'd love to see it. But there's a lot of people out there, and very few of them are probably going to say, I've not seen that kind of offense before, like he did about some of the spread offenses.
Right.
You know, these are people that know offensive football inside and out, and they're studying what everybody else is doing and trying to create their own version of it. That's the kind of person I want. So, any other thoughts on that piece, Matt?
Well, you know, while I would love to be a program where you're not grabbing coordinators who are cutting their teeth at the coordinator role, you know, or at least at a Division I coordinator role, I think we all need to understand that that's just not who we are, right?
No. We never have been.
I think we can do ourselves a service by finding somebody who's got a little bit more experience at a higher level calling a game. And with the number, and coming back to this, and we don't need to just belabor this point, but if now you're assuming at this point that most, or if not all, the offensive staff is dismissed at that point, right? You still have enough BYU guys on this staff that the fact that an offensive coordinator wouldn't be LDS or wouldn't understand or know much about how BYU works, I think you'd be able to work them through it. It shouldn't be a problem.
Well,
it doesn't necessarily have to be a problem, I guess, is what I'm saying.
And you have to screen it, right? I'm not saying you just pick some dude. Like, you're going to, in the interview process, going to have to very clearly make sure that they understand what BYU is and what the expectations are of the program, right? And I think you can do that. I think it's been done before. We've had lots of non-LDS coaches come through. They don't typically stay for a super long time. I get it. But I don't know right now, if you told me we could get 2 or 3 years of a really good offensive coordinator, but you're probably only going to get 2 or 3 years out of him, would you take that right now?
I would.
I would take it. I don't need the person to be here for 15 years. Do you know how many offensive coordinators we've had that have stayed for a super long time? Like 2. And I'm exaggerating. There's more like 3. But there's not, I mean, the coordinators come and go because it's a place where people are trying to climb in a lot of cases. I mean, Norm Chow, though he was here for quite a while, his goal was always to become a head coach. Right? Like, and a lot of coordinators are in that bucket. All right. So, Matt, let's talk about Fresno State. Nicholas Nelson, that's Dr. Nick on Facebook, Well, he's Dr. Nick everywhere, actually, not just on Facebook. He says, with Fresno State as the last respectable defense BYU will play this year, Bill Connolly's S&P Plus has their D ranked 27th in the country. How many points does Ty Detmer's office need to score this Saturday to save his job?
25. You say 25?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that there are enough points to be had.
What about 70? They score 70.
I don't think it matters.
850 yards. Against a good defense, it would change everything, Matt. They would change everything. But they're not going to score 70 and have 850 yards. I think if he scores 25 points against this defense, then everything I just said about maybe this offense has found something becomes a potentially legitimate argument for Detmer and those who support him. I'm not saying it would save his job, but at that point it becomes maybe we need to give him one more year. So, like I said before, I hope I'm wrong about Detmer, but we'll get to our predictions here in a second. I don't think we scored 25 points. So, I don't think that's going to happen. But we shall see. Emotions aside, do you believe there's nothing he can do in these last four games offensively that will change his off-season fate?
I don't think so, but, I don't obviously work in the athletic department, so I don't know what Tom Holmo's thinking, but I think you've seen enough at this point that you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You can decide to give him another year, but you know what you have, and if you're okay with that, then that's the decision you make, and you decide to roll with it. But
yeah,
I think there's enough data at this point to make an informed decision on where you need to go with the offense.
Yeah, right. To preview them a little bit, they are a rush-first team, according to the advanced stats of Football Outsiders and the aforementioned Bill Connolly. They are 10th in the country in rushing, 52nd in the country in passing. Their leading rusher this year has been Jordan Mims, a freshman running back. Their two leading rushers are freshman running backs, Matt. And then their quarterback, Marcus McMarion, is their fourth leading, and so we got a little bit of a mobile quarterback. I actually really like both of those top quarterbacks, running backs, Jordan Mims and Ronnie Rivers. I've watched a little bit of Fresno State. It's kind of hard to see the Mountain West games, though, sometimes. But anyway, they are a rushing team. I don't think McMarion is a great quarterback, but I think he's pretty good. And this year he's got only one interception and has only been sacked four times. So I think he'll give us a little bit of problems. And then they're led by junior wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, 41 catches for 555 yards, Matt, this year. So that's a little bit about their offense. Scale of 0 to 10, meaning 10 you're super scared, 0 you're not scared at all. How scared are you of this offense?
8.
Oh, way too high. I was going to say like 5. I'm not worried about this offense. They'll score some points and get some yards, but I'm not super worried about them. Okay. Is that more of a reflection of them or a reflection of our defense and injuries and ineffective play the last few weeks?
My opinion is more reflective of the condition I think our defense is in.
Than fair enough.
I don't think this is an... I'm with you. I mean, this offense isn't a bunch of world beaters. But we've clearly struggled. You know, and I'm not ready to take just the San Jose State performance and forget about everything that was going on before that. And I don't know that this is a San Jose State team that we're about to play.
No, they're quite a bit better.
So I think there's reason to have some concern.
Yeah, the computers, just even with that loss to UNLV last week, which has got to be crushing for Fresno State, the computers love Fresno State. And the, you know, S&P has them as a 19-point favorite against us. But before you get all excited about our defensive performance against San Jose State, as you said, Matt, we allowed almost 7 yards per play against East Carolina on defense. So, and we're obviously, you know, continue to see injuries limit time. And Fred Warner, we think will be playing on Saturday, but spent a good time of this past week on the bench. So that's something to keep in mind. Matt, their defense, on the other hand, is maybe a little bit more frightening. Their defense, as we mentioned before, is ranked 27th overall as a rushing defense. They're 53rd as a passing defense. They're 76th, which seems like, well, how are they 27th? The thing is, they really don't have any weakness as a defense. They're really good at a lot of different things, and part of that is pressure. Part of that is generating pressure on the quarterback, and part of that is red zone success and getting negative plays, Matt. So I look at this defense and I am worried quite a bit about this defense and our ability to move the football against them. I mean, it won't be LSU, but I think there's going to be a lot of ugly drives.
Yeah, I mean, I see us getting across the 50 here, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll get across the 50 a couple times.
But I'm with you. I think they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah.
The way he does offensively.
This will be a, you know, much better defense than we have played the last couple of weeks. This will be not maybe as good as Mississippi State, but way closer to the quality of Mississippi State than it is to the quality of East Carolina and San Jose State.
Right. Agreed.
Defensively, not necessarily overall, because I think Mississippi State is a significantly better team than Fresno, but still, I mean, you look at that and you say, you know, that there's a little bit of a recipe. Matt, over under right now is 14.5 points favorite for Fresno State. It's quite a swing, right? Because we were like 13-point favorites a week ago to San Jose State, and now we're 2 touchdown underdogs to Fresno State. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, it's weird how that stuff works, but it's, you know, a lot of it's based on human behavior a little bit, right?
Right, right. But it's also just based on the fact that how utterly terrible San Jose State is, and how we're, though better than them, still pretty terrible, right?
Yep.
So. Matt, are you taking Fresno or BYU on that line of 14.5?
I'm actually going to take BYU on that line.
Really? Wow, we have flipped roles. I am the hater this week. I am taking Fresno on that line. And I put back here, no joke, I have in the notes yards by Taysom, passing yards by Taysom. That will be 0. Over, under, are you taking the over?
Taysom also, passing yards. I'm by Taysom, I'm taking the 0.
Yeah. So Tanner, let's do it for Tanner. That may be more effective. 185.
Why is that in the notes?
I don't know. I just typed it wrong. It's wishful thinking. I want Taysom back. 185 passing yards.
So do the Packers.
Yeah, they do. For Tanner Mangum, over under 185.
Under.
I'm going to go under as well. Matt, who leads the team in rushing?
Oh, geez.
Let's say Hall's healthy. Are we both agreed it's Hall?
If Hall is healthy, it's Hall.
Okay. If it's not Hall, if Hall is not healthy, it's got to be Squally, right?
I would imagine.
I think it's very clear right now the coaches are not interested in playing Riley Byrd a lot.
Yeah, I think Squally becomes the man. Squally, and you know what? He hasn't looked in the action that he's seen the past couple weeks. He's looked okay.
I would offer this up. I know everybody kind of fell in love with Tolu Tau, which we're going to get to a question about Tolu Tau here in a second from Jeff. But I think Squally Canada has played better this year. The sample size for both of them aren't that big, but I think Canada has. You know, has done a better job this year, and some of the advanced analytics back me up on that. Obviously, Hall, in his very limited, has looked the best, but again, that's fairly limited and against one of the worst rushing defenses I've ever seen. But that 75-yard run was still pretty awesome. So let's look at this. I'm going to say Riley Burt does not lead the team in rushing. How's that for stepping out on something?
Well, that's a big risk.
Yeah, that's a big risk. By the way, I watched some of his plays. He may be he's really struggling with pass blocking. Like, he just looks like he's totally clueless if he's having to block. And that is not, that may be one of the reasons he's not seeing more downs.
That's some of the same problem a couple of the offensive linemen have.
See what you did there. See what you did there. So, Matt, let's talk about the rest of the season here in our last few minutes. Last week, we did not talk about this a lot, but it was in the comment section. Basically, a bunch of you trolls saying that, you know, you guys are terrible this year because of independence. Matt, buy or sell, like we did last week, independence being a big factor as to why this season has been so bad.
See, that's, I'm going to go ahead and sell it.
I'm selling it as well.
But I think there is a point to be made that the schedule is partially the issue.
Yes.
But at the same time, if we were in the Mountain West Conference, we would not be competing for the Mountain West Conference Championship.
No, we'd be trying
with this team.
We'd be struggling to get bowl eligible.
Right.
To be honest.
So,
right?
But I'd be lying to you if there wasn't a part of me over the last couple of weeks that looked at it and thought, you know, there's some advantages to playing in a conference, even if it's one of these, if it's a group of five.
Right? Yeah, sure.
There's some advantages to that.
Yep.
And, you know, we talked at length last week around access to the playoff and all this other stuff, right? So we don't need to reopen that whole can of worms. But, you know, that's not a terrible place to be.
Yeah, but it's not. We're not 2-7 this year because we're independent. This isn't some like delayed independence reaction.
No, we're 2-7 because the team is struggling.
Yeah, yeah,
and they would be struggling. I don't know that the schedule would really even matter. I mean, if you put a full Mountain West Conference schedule in there, maybe we've won more than two games at this point. But I don't know that we're bowl eligible either.
Well, yeah, yeah, I don't think so. So Jeff asked this. I should have thrown this question in earlier. That's at Jeff J. BYU on Twitter. What percentage of times does Adam pronounce Tolu Tau correctly?
Zero.
Hashtag Tolu Tau 90%. Hashtag troll. Zero? Come on. I've got to luck into it once in a while.
I'm not really sure what the correct pronunciation is, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask you.
I can't say I know either because the announcers say it differently on BYU TV. I've heard it several different ways, so I'm not sure.
See, I usually stick with the way that Spencer and Jerem do pronunciations.
Yes.
Because I figure that somebody's going to correct them and make them do it right. But I don't know that I've seen some very minor inconsistency there too. So it's I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. Last one before we talk about the World Series here in a second. Randy Whittle on Facebook asks, do you believe Mangum will be the starting QB next season? Matt, game one next year, which is what, Arizona? Is that right? Am I getting the from memory, is that the first game next year?
I believe that's true.
I love your confidence. Yes, at Arizona on Saturday, September 1st, 2018. Tanner Mangum is the starting quarterback, yes or no?
Yep.
I'm going to say yes, but I think spring football and fall camp are wide open.
Well, and I'm not saying I think he's the quarterback in October.
Look at you. Look at you throwing a few curveballs.
I think it's going to take more than spring football and fall practice for Bo to push him off.
Who's to say it's Bo?
What, you think it's Critchlow?
Willsted, Critchlow. I think it's going to be wide open this spring.
Could be interesting. Could be interesting if it really is. I mean, because if there's one thing this season has given us, it's an opportunity to think about some of these other quarterbacks and try and make comparisons and draw conclusions based on extremely small amounts of data. Because what I'm all excited about Bo Hodge because of two drives he put together or something, right?
Right.
But it was pretty exciting to watch.
He looked pretty good against Utah State for a bit. Anyway, Matt, World Series, the Dodgers just won while we were recording. Kenley Jansen, one of the best relief pitchers in baseball, finally was able to just lock a save down. Matt, this has been an incredibly enjoyable and intense World Series.
Oh, yeah, it's been an amazing series. I think they were saying the ratings on Monday night, they were beating Monday Night Football.
I also saw an article where they were saying this may be the most watched World Series by the millennial generation.
Turns out that Major League Baseball made a great decision to juice those baseballs up, huh?
Do you care if they juice the balls?
Nope.
Me either. Don't care. Everybody's playing with the same balls.
What?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's the second one of those. I was able to make it through the first one without giggling, but then you started laughing on this one because you made another one 10, 15 minutes ago that was like, really?
Did I really? Yeah. I missed it.
I remember what it was, but it was somewhere in the vein of playing with balls. But I think that here, in this case, the criticism that I was really interested in was that the seam was flatter. And just made it harder for the pitchers to hold their grip.
Yeah,
You know, and I thought that was interesting.
We hear that a lot of postseasons. There's talk about something having been done like this, right? So this isn't the first year there have been claims of this. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't really care that much. The baseball has been so entertaining that it's hard to disagree. But here's the other thing. A lot of times in baseball, what happens is the best teams don't make it to the end, right? Because of
right,
short
I mean, the
five games.
Were eliminated early.
Yeah, but you had 200-win juggernauts. Literally the two best teams in baseball this year, right, statistically, who made it to the World Series and then could duke it out, and we're getting the result of that, which has just been spectacular. I did not make it to the end of the game on Sunday night, though. I did fall asleep, I think, in the ninth, the top of the ninth inning.
I think I got like 3 hours of sleep that night.
I woke up to highlights of the game, which was, I was like, oh, I guess I fell asleep. But it's been fantastic.
See, I don't even feel like I have a real big dog in this fight, but I can't stop watching it.
I don't either. I don't really care who wins. I just was hoping for a 7-game series, which we've got. We got a 7-game series, which is, you know,
what more could you ask for?
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome. It's been pretty awesome. So Matt, if you're managing either of those teams tomorrow, every pitcher is available, correct?
Yes.
What about Verlander, who pitched through 90 pitches tonight?
I'd bring him back if I needed to.
I think you can only ask, like, maybe one batter or two.
Yeah.
But you might. You might. Kershaw, I guarantee Kershaw will pitch tomorrow night. If he doesn't, Dave Roberts should be fired, though I still love him for that stolen base against the Yankees in 2004. Dave.
Yeah, but don't you worry. I mean, there is this whole narrative about Kershaw not being effective in the playoffs. And I think while there were some decisions made the other night that weren't entirely inside of his control that made things, you know, that helped further this discussion around Kershaw. I mean, you put him out there and he flops.
Doesn't matter. He's your best pitcher. You still have to do it.
I don't disagree. I don't think you make decisions based on that particular fear, but
Yes, yeah, there is a chance there seems to be a better chance than you would think based on his career that he will struggle if you put him back on the mound. As much as Giles, who's looked like he shouldn't belong on a playoff roster, and he's, you know, at least by name, has been the Astros closer. I don't know. It's pretty crazy that, you know, that game five where he had Keuchel and Kershaw, that it ends up being the one that's 13-12. Right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
But probably the two best starters in the series, and they both kind of just get lit up by you know, two really good offenses, though, right? So it's not as if they got you know, lit up by the Cleveland Browns or something.
Yes, that's what makes these games so good.
Baseball, yeah. That's this, and the thing has been the back and forth. I mean, that game, that 13-12, when a 3-run homer, and then the 3-run homer. I mean, it's been amazing. So if you're not watching it and you listen to this tomorrow, watch Game 7. You know, I'm sorry if you hate baseball, but you can cure yourself of that. You can turn that around.
You too can let baseball change your life.
That's right. That's right. Well, Matt, we've been talking for a long time, so we should stop talking.
Well, I guess so.
So, anything else you want to add, Mr. I'm about to go run a marathon?
No, I'm excited. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, we're not talking about it next week. Sorry. I've already got the agenda set up. I just don't see any room for it.
Interesting.
We can't talk about your massive lifelong accomplishment. That doesn't seem to fit what we do.
No, that's cool. Go ahead and leave it off the agenda. We'll see how that works out.
Well, I mean, it seems like we're all about, you talked about this before, we're all about being amateurs. We're all about being mediocre and maybe even below that. And running a marathon seems way too ambitious for what we do on this podcast.
So wait a minute. If I get a ride to the airport from a booster, am I disqualified?
Correct. And
so I'll just drive myself.
I'm actually going to examine your college records and make sure you didn't take any fake classes. You know, and we'll have no doubt. If your time isn't great, Brady Papinga is going to let you know that your personal trainers just weren't up to snuff.
They're just subpar.
Yeah, sad. Hashtag sad.
It's sad.
So we'll be back next week, hopefully talking about, did we ever do a final prediction on Fresno State?
We did not.
Okay. We both think they're losing, right?
Yes. Yes.
I think they're losing big 33-10. You think what?
I think they lose 24-10.
Okay. So you think they're just barely inside
that spread. Okay. I think the line is pretty good here.
Yeah.
And when I look at what I think we'll be able to do, I see us coming to that 24-10 slot. And my guess has more to do with the two issues, right? One, I think the spread is about right, and I see us putting up about 10 points.
I think Critchlow ends up throwing 10-12 passes on Saturday night when it gets out of hand. That's my other bold prediction.
10-12 passes, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he gets a whole quarter, maybe a little bit more. I think it's out of hand, and he gets a chance to throw it around a little bit. So, we'll see. We shall see. Well, anyway, that was a delayed prediction, but we got it in there.
There you go.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. I don't believe we'll be doing a halftime show on Saturday. Will we be doing a halftime show?
It's a late game, and I have to catch a bus to Staten Island at,
yeah,
like, way early.
Yeah,
so I won't be available to do it.
I am not planning on doing a halftime show. We'll be back probably the week after that. So, anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!